2 Corinthians 12:9. And Paul says, my grace, or God spoke to him and said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, isn't that profound? That just shows you that a man would not have written something like that, because it makes no sense. It's beyond human thought pattern that my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's not something someone human would have come up with, because it doesn't make sense. But yet when you really understand it, we understand that our strength does not come from ourselves. Because if it was up to me, I'm such a failure. I'm such a weakling spiritually. And it's the Bible goes on to say, Paul says, therefore when I am weak, that's when I'm strong. You know, the world would call that what they call an oxymoron, because it wouldn't make any sense. But he's not talking about his strength. He's talking about the strength that comes from God. Do you know what makes us strong? It's God's grace. It's God's grace. And we're going to be spending this month dealing with that and covering different aspects of God. In fact, it's the thing that saves us. The Bible says it's not of us ourselves. It's not you yourself, lest any man should boast. So we're going to be this first Sunday doing an overview on grace, and we're going to be concentrating on receiving grace. I have a problem receiving anything. I don't like getting anything, because I always feel so unworthy. But you know what? We have to let God bless us sometimes. We have to forgive ourselves. Do you know that? A lot of people, why they can't let go of the past is because they haven't forgiven themselves. They haven't allowed themselves to accept God's grace. And we have to do that. And then the third week, we're going to be talking about living grace. How do we use grace in our daily lives to overcome? And then we should give grace. Did you know that? The Bible says that what should come out of our mouth should be grace, that it encourages someone. What we speak should really be grace. And sometimes we're not very graceful. Sometimes we want to give them a piece of our mind, right? But we're going to be studying about the grace of God. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It's a gift of God. It's not because we deserve God's mercy and goodness. You know, people look at things and say, why do bad things happen to good people? Okay, I'm open for answers. Why do bad things happen to good people? All right, that's it. Actually, there are no good people. There are no good people. All have sinned and fallen short. Isn't that what it says? Yeah, all have sinned. If we were being measured according to the law, and Jesus even took it one step further, according to our thoughts, how could we stand before God? How could we stand before God? All have sinned. So the truth is, there are no good people. We think of ourselves as good. You know, I'm pretty good. I help little children cross the road. I stop for blind people at the crossing. I give my offering at church. That's not what makes us good. That's not what makes us good, no. It's not what we do, because we can't do enough to be good. Once we get to understand that and then cross the next line is accept God's grace. And I'll be more talking about that next week, about receiving God's grace, because I have a problem with that. I tend to want to work to be good. And we measure our weeks. Okay, what did I do this week? Did I mess up? Sister Shanita.
Coming to church here after when Bishop was here, I came back and Pastor was trying to draw me in with love, because I was going through a lot, and they invited me out to dinner, but everybody around me, because I had no income, everybody around me was doing stuff for me, so I kind of got overwhelmed, and I felt like I didn't want nobody else to do nothing for me. Not that I was being mean about it. I like to help people. You know, I thrive off seeing other people happy. So if I can't never do nothing for nobody, it's a problem to me. So I thank God for giving me that type of heart.
Amen. 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 God has given us sufficient grace. And if we are not starting to grow in that, it's because we're not receiving it. It's not his fault. It's you know, the transmission is fine. You know, you ever had a problem with your internet or your cable? It's not because the satellite isn't working. It's your receiver. It's something in your house isn't working. God's power, God's grace, there's not a problem with that. If you're not receiving it, it's because something inside of your life is not tuned right. You know, right now, there's millions of signals passing right through this building. Did you know that? Yeah, radio waves, television waves. But why can't we see any of them? What do you need to pick up a TV signal? You need a TV. And then you need it to be tuned, right? So to receive God's blessing, you have to have the right thing and you have to be tuned to it. Lots of times we miss God's grace because we expect it to just happen. No, there are laws, spiritual laws. I've talked about this in the past. And receiving God's grace and being able to live as an overcomer is why we're here, so we can learn those laws today. Ephesians 1:6 says, listen to this, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now that seems like such an ordinary verse. But if you truly meditated upon this verse, let me read it again and see if anyone can tell me what word jumps out at you. Let me read it again. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. In fact, every single word is special, but I'll tell you what jumped out at me. Beloved. Beloved. Do you understand what God's grace does? It makes you not just loved, but accepted in the beloved. Now, again, that probably doesn't hit you very hard, but think about this. When Jesus went to John the Baptist, right? And he was coming out the water, what did the voice say? What did the voice say? Come on. This is my beloved son. Do you understand that grace, God's grace, puts us accepted in not just the loved, but beloved? Beloved, you are beloved. Now, you're all looking at me like you hadn't heard a thing, like I just sprayed some vinegar in your face. But if you truly understood what that meant, you would be happy. You would, you know, as I said last week, there's a difference between believing in God and believing God. Do you believe that grace puts you in not just the loved category, but the beloved? If you are beloved, don't you understand? Now, if you really love someone, you'll do almost anything for that person. You want to see them happy. You want to see them successful. God has put us in the same category as Jesus through grace. Let me read it again. Wherein he hath made us. Wasn't something we did. It says he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That verse, if we meditated upon it and truly got those words inside of us, we'd be happy. I'm beloved. Maybe no one else loves me, but Jesus loves. It's just like the little kids song that we learn in Sunday school. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible. Little ones, to him belong. They are weak. Do you understand how that ties in with the verse? In my weakness, he is strong. This is how God's grace delivers us. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. I'm going to keep hitting that verse till it gets into someone. You know, because the devil has probably beat you up this week. You probably all had a hard week. You probably all had stuff happen that was just depressing you and dragging you down. Well, I want you to just blow that out your mind right now. You are accepted in the beloved. God is saying to you the same thing as he said to Jesus. The voice came and said, this is my beloved son. And because he's the beloved son, he said, I'm pleased. I'm pleased. I'm pleased. Now, it wasn't, in Jesus' case, he was pleased because he was obedient, even unto the cross. You know why he's pleased with us too? Because we are obedient. Now, our obedience may not be perfect, but that's where grace comes in. And as I've been trying to tell you, love covers, what does scripture say? A multitude of sin. God is looking at you as perfect, and I've said that so many times, and you are accepted in the beloved. I might spend 15 more minutes talking about this because it's so important. You have had a bad week. The devil's been beating you up. All kinds of things, negative things have happened. I want you to know, in this life, ye shall have what? Tribulation. But I have overcome the world. Just because you're the beloved does not mean, in fact, because you're the beloved, that's why Satan hates you. That's why he's going to come with all kinds of negativity into your life. Today, this morning, I want you to have some joy. If you get this verse in your heart, he hath made us accepted in the beloved. The moment we truly believe that how much God's grace and love, as I've said so many times, and I've used the example of a baby being born. When a baby is born, it doesn't take 5 years before, at least I hope not, before the mother loves the baby. It's not till they are potty trained. My son is potty trained. I love him now. Man, I've tired for 2 years struggling cleaning that little baby. Now they're potty trained. Now I love them. That's how we look at God. He only loves us when we achieve something. Now that we can clean our own behind, now he loves us. Now we don't make any mess this week, he loves. But that's not how it works. He loves us because we've been accepted into the beloved. David was a murderer, right? He had Uriah killed, and he was an adulterer. And yet, you know what his name means? Beloved. His son's names also, Jedediah, which was Solomon's name, should have also meant beloved. Beloved. It's not because David was so perfect, but his heart, when he was confronted with the things that he did wrong, he was always quick to repent. And it's not because we are perfect, but if we truly come to God with a repentant heart, he is faithful to forgive us. I'm going to move on, but I just want you to get this verse. You should memorize this verse and tell the devil every day, I'm accepted in the beloved. And I didn't even have to do it. He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Think about that. It wasn't us. He hath made me. He hath made you accepted in the beloved. Whenever you really, really catch that, and you will be smiling because you'll say, okay, the glass is still half empty or half full, whichever way I look at it, but I'm accepted in the beloved. I know where I'm going. I know where my end is, and I am going to have a good result. Amen. Amen. Let's look at the meaning of grace. In the New Testament, the Greek word is charis. That's where we get the word charity and all the other things. And it says, that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, loveliness. And it also speaks of grace of speech, goodwill, loving kindness. See, these are all words that come from the word grace. And we see in Luke, I didn't put the book, but it's Luke chapter 1, I think, verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary. Sometimes the word is translated favor, but it's really the same word, charis, grace. And when it said, thou hast found favor, in the Greek, it's the same word, grace. I tell you what, I've had a lot of grace. Grace fills all my weaknesses, all my shortcomings, all my can't make it up. He just gives us grace. Amen. Fear, for thou hast found favor, grace with God. Fear not. That's the word that you should next remember. or two words, fear not. See, most of us are living our lives in fear. What's going to happen next? How am I going to do this? How am I going to get through that? But if you have God's grace, don't fear. Fear not. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor, grace with God. That means it wasn't because of something she did. God has made a sovereign choice. If you are here today, you have the opportunity to have God's favor, to have his grace. Amen? Now let's look at how it's used in Scripture. As I said, that example, but we see in Luke 4:22, and they said, is not this Joseph's sons? And the words they use, although again it's not translated grace, it is the same word. They were saying that Jesus' speech, the way he talked, had a sweet, refreshing quality. It must have been because we see the example that he had disciples before he even did a miracle. We saw that at the wedding of in Cana, right? That there were disciples that came before he had even done one miracle. So why had they followed him? It must have been because his words, his speech was grace, was graceful. Amen? Sometimes when we measure ourselves that way, we fall short. You know, when we get under pressure, we start to be a little bit snappy, right? You know, we're not so graceful in our speech. It's very clipped. It's like, really what we're saying is, don't bother me. Can't you see? Can't you see I've got a lot dealing with right now? Don't bother me. You know, don't bother me. That's how we come across. But Jesus, the Bible says here in Luke 4:22, Jesus' words had a sweet, refreshing quality about them. Even his speech was grace. I try very hard, especially when I'm dealing with, when I go to restaurants, when I'm dealing with anyone who is having to serve me, to give an image that I could come back and invite them to church. You know what I mean? Sometimes we just snap off at people. And then, are you able now to give them a card and say, would you like to come to my church? We're all loving, sweet people. If you can't invite the person you've just dealt with to church, then your interaction with them was not graceful. Right? Let's be honest now. Whatever interaction you've had with somebody, you should, in the next breath, be able to say, would you like to come to my church? Because you have been an example of grace. Even when the service was bad, and I still try and be graceful. Because Jesus was always graceful, right? He is our example. The thing is, we want people to be graceful to us. But sometimes we let the pressure, you know, get to us. I'm guilty too. I give those one-word answers. Yes. No. I was so tired last night, driving back from Indianapolis. And I had the GPS talking to me. And I was listening to something in one ear, and when the GPS gave me a command, or, you know, I wasn't sure if it, I thought it was my wife, so I said, huh? At least that made her really laugh. She was laughing because I was tired, and I thought she was asking me something that I'd already answered, and I confess, and I said, huh? And it was the GPS. I snapped at the GPS. Oh, she laughed, she laughed, she laughed. I was so happy that it made her laugh because she wasn't feeling well. You know, that when that happened, that came to my head. You can't let life get to you and you do not minister grace to others, okay? It said, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceedeth out of his mouth. Remember, it's what comes out of us that what? Defiles us. Think about that next time you're going to snap off at someone. Can you invite that person to church when you're done? I told you the story of my former pastor, right? And someone cut him off in traffic, right? And he was shaking his fist at him like, you know, come cut him off in traffic. And seeming like they're both going to the same place, the guy pulls into the parking lot, come into church. And he's the pastor. Now he has to go out there and greet him and welcome to church. That wasn't a good image, was it? You can stay there and go ahead. He'll come back. He'll come back. He's been here before. Listen, Sister Anita, we're all growing. We're all growing. Amen. And you admitted it, and so it's done. Amen. It's done. It's done. Listen, I've done that before. I have done that before. I said I snapped off at the GPS because I thought it was talking to me. And I sounded like a real old man, too. Huh? I wouldn't start because I'd been sitting there all week and was dead, and I was late. And graciousness was not the first thing that was in my spirit. I wasn't feeling gracious. I was feeling frustrated and like, Of course, there wasn't anyone to blame. This is Paul's admonition. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Imagine if everything we said helped someone. Imagine if everything we said was to help someone. Can I pray for you? Do you need something? Which is good to the use of it and may minister grace unto the hearers. That's really for week three, but this is an overview this week. Our speech should not be harsh. It should be able to edify others. In Colossians 4:6, it says, we find a further admonition about our speech. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that he may know how he ought to answer every man. Sister Brownie, I confessed about the GPS. Huh? I'm talking about speaking grace, and I wasn't graceful because I was tired. But that's no excuse.
Together no excuse. With Christ,
and he goes and says, by grace, to be you are saved. Again, the whole New Testament is about grace. Because the Bible says what the law could not do in that it was weak. What made the law weak? Our flesh. I can tell you, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and then I might not do it. Not because when I told you, I didn't mean to do it, but my flesh got in the way. You know, when we do our marriage vows, I assume that most of the people who get married, and they say, I'm going to love you till death do us part. Well, that's what I'm saying. We hope that when they say it, at least they mean it at the first time, but things get in the way. Latasha?
Okay, my question is, what if somebody, you want to pray for somebody and they don't want you to pray for them?
Well, you cannot make someone love God. God has given everyone free will, but you can pray that God will keep reaching out to them. You can pray that God will keep, through circumstance, putting them in a place where they need to seek him. But you cannot override someone. Even God does not override our will. We all have to make a choice. But if you have a loved one who is not saved, and I'm sure all of us do, who has a loved one who's not saved? Well, you can pray for that person in this sense. You can pray, Lord, keep giving them another chance. Lord, open a door for them.
Lord, give them some circumstance that will turn them to you. See, that's what you can pray. But you can't pray, Lord, force them. Force them to love you, because that's not love. But God can put circumstance. That's what happened to the prodigal son. He didn't realize how good he had it till he was in a circumstance where he was in a pig pen. Then he remembered how good it was. How good it was. That's why the Bible says we should train up a child in the way he should grow, that when he is old, he will not depart. You know, even though they may go through those teenage rebellious years, if you have prayed for them, brought them to church, and been a good image to in front of your children, years to come, they will remember that. They will remember that. See? And that's what we have to do, is to be always aware that we are supposed to be the image of grace.
I think, and I didn't testify this morning, one of the things I'm most thankful for, and with our trip that we did this weekend, was just being able to be with my family and to see, you know, that the years of praying and the years of, you know, being an example, my husband and I, that it pays off. That's the best example you can give to your kids, is just living the love of God. And this weekend, I was just so overwhelmed with thankfulness for who the Lord has blessed our family. And I'm not boasting, but God has been good. God has been so good, and he's blessed our family with new members, you know, our daughter-in-laws, everyone that he's blessed. And yeah, things have not always been smooth, but you know what? His grace and his love and just living out his principles, you know, you see the results. Suddenly you just sit back and say, wow, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. And I just want to give you thanks.
Amen. Amen. You know, yeah, we sometimes forget that we are examples, not just to our children, but everyone around us. The one thing I can really say, our children have never seen us, you know, fight. Not that we don't disagree, but they don't understand about fighting and throwing stuff and all of that. That's not something that they could relate to. I remember when we were in a service one time, and the pastor was talking about fighting, and my kids looked at me like, "People do that?" Now, I'm not saying we don't disagree, and as I said, I did snap off at the GPS. But as soon as she started laughing, I came to myself, you know what? I shouldn't be doing that. We're both tired. And that's why, you know, if there's love there, it covers a multitude of sins. Amen. Verse 6 here says, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." You see, God's plan and why it's going to take eternity, this is the next verse you should try and get in your soul. "That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace." God has got so much love that it's going to take eternity to really start to even begin to scratch the surface. And that whatever you have gone through, you know, I don't think there's probably anyone, well, maybe there's one or two that are older than, it's really scary when I look around and I think, you know what, we may be the oldest people here, excepting maybe Sister Anita, I don't know, but maybe we beat you. But let's say you lived 100 years and every single day was nothing but misery and every day was terrible and every day you had just, that 100 years is not going to compare with the ages to come. See, 100 years out of 1,000 is only 1/10. Out of 10,000, it's only 0.1%. Out of 1,000,000, it's almost nothing. Out of 10 million, it's even like nothing at all. Do you understand that in the ages to come, God is just going to pour out nothing but love. He's just going to prove. That's what the definition of God is love. And that's why it's going to take eternity for him to pay you back. No matter what you have gone through, no matter what you think you have lost, it's going to be nothing. Bible says, "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard what God hath prepared for them that..." It's only been revealed through the Spirit, through faith. We can see it by faith. But if we will just endure to the end, and the end is not far away, It says, verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us. Again, that's another scripture. You can't say it and believe it and not smile. Doesn't matter what I'm going through now. It really doesn't, because I'm a child of the King. I'm accepted in the Beloved. Amen. And it goes on. This was the scripture we quoted at the beginning, because Paul was explaining to the Ephesians, it's not by works. It's not because of good things you do. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not to do good things. But don't do it thinking that that's what buys you a ticket. It's not, it doesn't work. That's why some people look at some people and say, why are they blessed? I'm doing more than them. Well, that's your problem. That's your problem right there. You are thinking it's because of what you're doing. See, don't look at other people and look at their blessing. What you need to do is just accept God's grace. There is a spiritual law to getting his favor and blessing. And I'm going to be going into it much deeper next week, so come back next week. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That means you have to connect, you have to believe this. You have to believe this. You know, as I said, you look at some people and say, why are they keep getting blessed? They don't seem to do much. In fact, they're not doing nothing, and it just keeps pouring out. Just keeps pouring out. It's because they have learned, first of all, humility, because I don't believe you get blessed unless you're humble. And secondly, they have learned to accept God's grace. Not of works. See, we don't work to get in the kingdom, but when we're in the kingdom, we are to work. Now, there is a difference. Sister Johnny.
I just want to comment about this thing called grace. It's like words can't really describe it, but it shows you who God really is. And once you have become born again and saved into this walk, it also... It's another way of God showing you who he wants you to be. Because if it says that if the master has suffered, then the saint is not greater than the master. So then you will also suffer. But this thing that's called grace, it really just shows you who God is. And it shows you who God wants you to be. Because the minute that you get in your own thinking as to thinking how you want to do things and how you would do it, then that's not the way God sees it, because God's ways is higher than our ways. But it's just that it's so amazing, because God just constantly overshadows us with his grace. And even this morning, I was just thinking, like, how so unworthy I am to be who God has called me to be. But I only think that because I'm in the flesh. But I have to think spiritually as to who God has called me to be, because he has bought me with a price and I no longer belong to myself. So then, therefore, every day I have to wake up asking God what is his will and what he want me to do instead of what I want to do. Because if I could do what I want to do, I told Sister Yvonne this morning that I wouldn't be here. And so it's by God's grace that constantly reminds me of who he has called me to be.
Amen. Sister Johnny, stay there. I want to ask you a question. Now, Sister Johnny, see, and I hate to use you as an example, but with blessing, I'll don't go. I'm trying to put this into terms that I would like to get over a point. People will look at certain people who are being blessed, and they'll think, that's all there is. But there's also trial and tribulation.
There's a lot.
Isn't there?
A lot.
And people only focus on the fact that about the blessing, and they don't understand that to get to here, you had to start from here.
Yes.
Right? And if I was to ask you if your life is just a rose petal garden, what would you say?
No, it's not.
Amen.
I have been through, like they say, I don't look like what I have been through. I have been through so much until I can't even tell it all, but... Just the thought of how God has allowed me to go through some things, it's just so amazing, because it has made my faith rise even higher.
Amen.
And I've gotten to the point where I ask the devil the question, what do you have next for me? Because I know already that God's grace is sufficient.
Amen. I tell you, I'm going to give you a key here, you see. I'll give you a key. And I think the secret is people who have got God's favor, it's not because they don't have great tribulation. But if you were to ask them about the tribulation, it'd be like, you know, I've discounted it. So it's as if, it's not because they don't, if you actually were suddenly to do a body swap and got into their life, you'd be shocked. How are they possibly dealing with all this stuff? I thought they were blessed. It's because they're not focusing on the negative. It's not the negative that it's not there. Not that it's not there, but they're just looking and saying, I'm not going through anything, really. God is so great. That is the secret. So when you start to exalt God and his favor, then, as I said before, all the tribulations start to get minimized. Philip?
I just wanted to make one point out when you were talking about how we can get confused, you know, with what we're doing and how we can then in turn get jealous, you know, and all that type of stuff. And really dawned on me that faith or how you walk is not by works. You have to go by faith. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you have that faith, then your walk will then in turn reflect that faith. And I think that sometimes, I remember when I first really, really got serious about coming to church, it was confusing to me for a while. You know, I was kind of, you know, trying to find my way because I have this new faith, but it could manifest itself. You have to, and then sometimes you have to, you know, you got to seek. You have to seek a little bit more because you get confused and not, you don't know if you should work as hard as you have been. It's a new walk, you know. And so I think, I remember when I very first started, I was a little weary, you know, but, and then I had to just mature. And then I asked people in the church, you know, like Pastor Sister Yvonne and my aunt and Audrey and everybody in the church. And I was just, you know, just trying to really figure it out. And sometimes that's what it takes. You have to, I guess, minimize yourself, you know, Amen. So he can maximize himself.
Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, grace is God's goodwill, because that's what was announced when the angel came, Luke 2:13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God and peace in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. God isn't trying to strike you down dead. He wants the best for you. He wants to show you his love. But you see, he has to work through your will. You have to be in agreement with God's will for his will to be fulfilled. There's a secret. Shall I say it again? You have to be in agreement with God's will for that to be fulfilled. You want all these blessings? Well, agree with God. Amen. You have to. He is waiting there to bless you. It's just like the prodigal son. He was there every day looking for the son. The son had to come to him for him to receive the robe and to get the ring. Many times we just stay in the pig pen and saying, God, help me. When we know what to do. We know what to do. God will not bless the mess. You got to get out the pig pen. And you got to head back to Father's house. Father is there. The robe is there. The ring is there. And he will welcome you back.
Yesterday, I was kind of going through, but I remember something that you told me, Pastor. My husband, he kind of irritated me, something that he did, and I was hurt. But in my hurt, I just started praising the Lord and thanking him. And got to talking to one of the sisters. I ended up coming down to prayer on Saturday. And whatever I was going through, God became the most important thing that day. And my problem became so small.
Amen. Amen. Now, why does grace not work? Grace is not automatic. It must be accepted. Could the prodigal son have gotten the ring and the robe in the pig pen? No. How could he get the ring and the robe? Staying in the pig pen and eating what the pigs are eating? No, he had to get up. He had to get up and he had to make a decision. I got to go back to Father's house. And when he went back, he was accepted back into the beloved. In fact, the father told the other son, my son was dead, but now he's alive. That shows you how great the love the Father has. That's what the scripture says. But the devil has beat us up during the week and depressed us that when we come, we're like, you know, okay, all right. I got to go to church, so I better go and hope he can get me going. I hope he's got a message that will wake me up. Hope he's going to do a performance. Well, you know that's not going to happen with me. If the words don't wake you up, I'm not going to. Jesus in John says, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. You have to eat them up. You have to start thinking about them and meditate. If you do that, it won't be, I shouldn't say this, but you know, there's some kind of ethnic foods that you go to, people have this thing that you can eat them and be hungry an hour later, right? There's some church services that are like that, right? Where they say three words the whole hour, and someone asks you 2 hours later, what was the message about? No, but I'm telling you, if you are eating the words that I'm giving you, because they're not my words, they're scripture, it'll come back to your memory when you need it, and it'll be a full spiritual meal. You'll remember tomorrow when someone gets on your last nerve, I'm accepted in the beloved. You know what they say about some mean people? What do they usually say about mean people, the way they were raised? That person was not breastfed. Right? Isn't that what they say? You know, what they're saying is they didn't get enough love. Right? They say, man, that person didn't get enough nurture because look at how mean and just ordinary they are. See, when you've come to church and you've soaked in Jesus' love and you've been in a place where spiritual faith is being told to you, when you go out, you know, you'll have a smile. I went to church. I just love the word. It said, I'm accepted in the beloved. Oh, did you call me a name? Well, I'm going to pray for you. You don't love me? Well, I'm sorry. I love you. You know, when I was doing judo, when I was learning martial arts, judo is a very fascinating martial art because it really goes along with the scripture. You're not supposed to use your own strength. You use the other person's strength. When they push you, you give. And you go in the direction that they want. They're pushing you, you pull them. And they overbalance because they were going that way already. You understand? And so I love judo because it was the art of using the other person's strength. So someone is pushing you. Isn't that what Jesus said? They demand your coat, you give them your... See, Jesus studied judo. Or maybe he was the master of it. See, but most of us, we want to do karate. All right, now let's get it together. Someone hold my coat. We're going to get it on. No, Jesus wasn't into karate. If he was into any martial sport, it was judo because... It's you use the other person's strength. And what got me the first time I learned judo was the teacher was a little guy. He was a black belt, and he was probably my height. And I couldn't believe he was fighting all these guys that were like 6 feet, and he was just throwing them all over the place. They could not. They would get up, and they would be on the floor. And I was just there saying, I got to learn this. Do you understand that this is the secret of God? You don't need strength. In your weakness, he will be your strength. We need to project his... That's grace. That's what Jesus came to project was grace. He had disciples before he did a single miracle. Could we have disciples? Could we be disciples with just because people want to be around us? Because they see our love, that we care? Hallelujah. Do you care? Oh, I'm laughing is because I hesitated being a pastor because I found it. I said, I don't love everybody. Sister Lavinia.
Praise the Lord. Everything the pastor's teaching this morning, me and Sister Joanne was listening to a pastor this morning, and I said, well, we listened to this pastor, that means we are late because we was trying to get out of the construction that they right. had, and it was, and we saw so many things going on. One lady, she had gotten mad, and she just bagged her way out, and she knocked down over the side, and just like she didn't really care what was going on. And so Joanne looked like she was kind of getting, you know, and but she was driving, you know. And so God give us grace and we get strength. And what Sister Anita was talking about this morning, about the young man, I understand what she was saying, and we have to, it's what come out of our mouth sometimes, you know, what defines us. And I saw it, you know, what was what she was talking about, you know, because it happened to me, you know.
It happens to all of us.
It happened to all of us, and sometimes you have to just watch what we say before we say it.
Amen.
And sometimes we don't do it, you know, but we understand what we are saying, you know.
Amen.
So I understand what she was saying about what,
amen,
what happened, you know. So, but it's grace.
It's God's grace that has to fill the gaps. Because,
yes, it does.
See, we're in this flesh.
Yes.
And there are times when I feel just the same way,
yes,
to react. And I have. Yes. And I just have to ask God for mercy and his grace.
Good morning. Two things. Yesterday when I got in the car and when it's kind of dark, I said, well, you know what, Faith, and I don't want to leave. Well, it's dark, but now time has changed. And the minute I see that sign that says 94 West, Wisconsin, it's just like a cloud opens when I'm driving.
Amen.
Heading here. It feels so good. And then another thing I was sharing with my coworkers, this week someone gave me a present. It wasn't a big thing, but it was the words that was said behind it. And they gave me the present and they said, don't go giving this away, because you know all you do is give things away to people. You're always giving things. And I think it slipped when they said that, because they corrected and said, well, you know what, that's a good thing. That's why you're blessed, because you're always giving things. And I said to myself, you know what, there's God is good, and there's favor, and I feel good about it, but I never think about giving. It's just like, you know what, it's here. If I have it, I'm going to give it to you. And so I just said, you know what, you said probably what you didn't want to say, but I thank God that you did, because it just allowed me to say, you know what, just keep on giving. Just keep, you know, not that, even through trials and tribulations, if you have it and you want to share it with somebody, you give it. And I know they really didn't mean to say that, but what comes from the heart reaches the heart. And I thank God for those words.
Amen. I thank you for coming all the way from Chicago. Amen. Amen. Look at this. This is, and happy birthday. To get God's grace, though, look at what Paul says. He knew, he could have looked at himself as a murderer, because he was. He was killing Christians. And to get God's grace, and this is what I'm going to really hit, and I've taught it before, you cannot look upon yourself. If I look upon myself, I can tell all the stuff I don't like. There's a lot of stuff about me I don't like. But look what Paul says. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. You have to start out by understanding you are what you are. Now, you've come through some pathway, some life experiences that have brought you to be the person you are. And that's where you start from. It's no good looking at yourself, I said navel gazing, and start picking apart all the things that are wrong with you. Because you will find them. And you know what they'll do? Depress you. You will feel unloved, you will feel unworthy, you will feel such a failure. And it's a struggle, because that's our human, we're not used to getting something for nothing. First thing we see when we see something that looks too good, well, there must be a trick to it. Like, what's the catch? What's the catch? This can't be for real. There must be a catch. But with God's love and grace, there is no catch. There is no catch. Man, there is always a catch. But with God, there's no catch. That's why Paul said this. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. He could have been depressed. If he thought about all the things he did before he became a Christian, it would have stopped him doing anything. He would have felt so condemned. I was there consenting to the death of Stephen. I held the coat of the people who were stoning him to death. Imagine if that's all he focused on. It will paralyze you. You focus on your past and your failures, you won't get nowhere. That's why he said, I am what I am. And then he said, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. You have to accept God's grace and go on. You have to accept God's grace and move on. And not look at yourself. Every time, I've been trying to teach myself this, every time I start to feel a failure, I have to start looking at Jesus. And I have to start imagining his righteousness covering me. And when I start to do that, I start to smile. And I start to think about, God, what you did is more than enough payment for whatever I'm going through and whatever failures. When I start looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher, then I can start to smile. And then I start to feel something in my spirit. I start to feel a confidence. Amen? And this is how we have to deal with it. That didn't mean, though, that he didn't work. Paul didn't work. But he wasn't working to get God's grace. He was doing it because now he was responding to the grace. When I think about God's mercy and grace to me, it makes me want to be gracious to other people because that's what it does to me. It's not because I'm trying to prove anything now, but I think, God, you've been so good to me. I got to help this person. I got to do better because he's been so good to me. So he said, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, even so, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul points out that we must accept this grace. We must use this grace. Amen.
We were talking about works and how some people work to be saved. Well, the reason why we do what we do is because of the grace of God and because we love God so much. Then that's why we do what we do, not to be saved, but because he's been so good to us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We have to, if we love God enough, then all these things will be easy. It's not hard for me to stay up till 3 o'clock or something. Now, if it was something else, I couldn't do it. If it was my real job, I couldn't do it. But I love working on God's word. It doesn't bother me. Yes, my flesh, it bothers me, but in my mind, it's not like work at all. It's a joy to be in God's word. Amen. And it's not a boast, it's just because I enjoy it. So Paul points out that we must accept this grace. First of all, you got to say, I am what I am. And the shortcomings, I'm going to expect God's grace to fill that. Amen? Amen? So again, what do we do to receive grace? Romans 5:2, by whom also we have access by faith. This is how we get God's grace. It's by faith. Faith. You have to believe that God loves you. You have to believe that you're accepted in the beloved. You have to believe that even though all our sins were terrible, the Bible says, they have been washed. You have to believe. It's by faith we have access. Isn't that what it says? By whom also we have access by faith into this grace. You have to believe the words I'm telling you today that you are accepted in the beloved. Now imagine if Jesus Christ appeared bodily here and came to you and say, you are accepted in the beloved. What would you do? What would you do? Wouldn't you be rejoicing? Wouldn't you be happy? Wouldn't you be running around this church? Wouldn't you? I would be. I would think of, wow, I'm right at the place. I'm accepted in the beloved. And yet, that's what he's telling us. That's exactly what he's telling us right now. But because he hasn't bodily appeared, our brain is saying, yeah, I know Pastor's saying that, but maybe it's someone else. He doesn't know me. He doesn't understand what I've been through. Jesus is saying, whomsoever will, you're accepted in the beloved. And if we could ever get that and believe as if Jesus told us, because none of you would be here looking at me all. If you won $1 million, you couldn't stop. Your face would be hurting. You'd be smiling so much, wouldn't you? Even just saying that, some of you start to smile, right? If tomorrow you had $1 million or knew you were going to get it, I've said it before, you could not stop smiling. Nobody could upset you today. Nobody. They could call you all kinds of names. You'd be like, okay, have a good day, be blessed, you go on with your bad self. I'm fine, I'm happy. This is what we should be in Christ. Amen? Amen? This is a test for whether we believe or not, because the more we believe, the more happy we're going to be. I'm trying to tell you today, God loves you. You're accepted in the beloved. through faith, you have access to this grace, this unmerited favor. Look at this. He said, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. That's how we stand. I'm not standing because I have good works to lay out to you. I don't. I'm standing because God's favor and grace. When I go into work, that's the only way I get through my day. Because I'm not performing the way I think I ought to be performing. It's just God's grace. As I told you a month or so ago, I was shocked. This manager guy was chasing me down. And I was thinking he was coming to chew me out and ask me, where's this thing I was supposed to do a month ago? And I was running away from him. And when he came at lunchtime, I said, I got to go to a meeting. He says, well, I'm coming too. And I thought, oh, my goodness. And he came in the meeting and he said, I just have one thing to say before we start the meeting. And he pulled out from this folder an award. This is for Michael Brown, an award for, and here's the funny part. The date on it was like a month or so ago. He was just waiting for me to tell him I was done so he could get. That's what we do. We run from God's blessing because we're scared and we don't believe that he means us good. That taught me a lesson. You could have knocked me down when he pulled out this award. He was trying to give me an award, and I was running away from him. I was trying to avoid him all week, staying away from him. And he had a blessing for me. He gave me an award and a $25 gift Visa card. See? God isn't trying to kill you. God wants to hug you. He wants to tell you you are in his beloved. And you know what must hurt God's feelings so much? Is if you have a little child and you're trying to love them and hug them, and they're running away from you like they're scared of you. That's what we do with God. And we don't believe him. He has bought us some Christmas gifts. And we don't believe. And we're saying, hasn't bought us no gifts. This year's just going to be terrible. It's just going to be terrible. Look at this. Peter 5:12. This was Peter writing. He says, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein he stands. We only stand by God's grace. Nobody, the great apostle Paul said, I press towards the mark of the high call. And he goes, and it's not as if I have yet attained. This was the apostle Paul. He says, it's not as if I'm perfect and I've made it, but I don't give up. This is the key for your Christianity. Do not give up. Do not give up. No matter what the devil does to you. The Bible says a righteous man falleth down how many times? But he gets back up. In this flesh, we are going to be failures. But God's grace. When you truly repent. Now, that doesn't mean we do anything we want. It doesn't mean we deliberately abuse God's grace. Oh, I can come to church and I'll go down to the altar every week. And I'll just repent. Then I shouldn't say this, Catholics. We don't have a confessional where you come in Sunday and get it all off and then go back to the same thing deliberately. No. You are abusing God's grace. You're abusing God's grace. That's not what God's grace is for. It's not to just do anything you want and believe that God's got to forgive me.
You know, I think that it's so sad that this thing with grace, you know, even with the church, you know, I hear so many saints saying different things, you know, about the church or about people in church. And we have to be, and I have found too that out witnessing, I have found that I have to kind of like talk to people to get them to believe in not in God. People believe in God. They have a problem with people in church. This is the biggest problem out in the world, not with people coming to church. The biggest problem is with them coming to church with people who have said certain things to them or about them that causes them not to want to come to church. So I have found in witnessing, I have found that I have to kind of cover up for people in church before I'm even able to witness to a person. And I think it's very important we as people who say that we are saved and, you know, living according to God's will, that we have to be very careful in how we speak to people. And, you know, I hear people just saying all kinds of things about people in church said this and people in church said that, and even brothers and sisters against brothers and sisters. You know, it bottles my mind so much, because when I was in the world, I was in mess. I never expected to come into the church and see mess, and that really bothers me. It really causes me to just try to put myself out there more with loving and caring for people, because people have been damaged by people in the church.
Well, you know what I say? You will not find a perfect church. My dad used to say, because you are here. If it was perfect before you joined, it wasn't perfect anymore. You know, Jesus had 12 disciples, and the Bible says one of them was a devil. So while we are on earth, you will not find a perfect church. But what we are going on to, Paul said, is we are going on to perfection. Yes, I might hurt your feelings. Hopefully, I never did it deliberately. I would never hurt anyone's feelings deliberately. But it's possible I can say something, or I know there's been times when I've got so much on my mind, I go right past someone, didn't shake their hand, didn't even see them. They thought I saw them and just was ignoring them. Please forgive me in advance if I do that. Sometimes my brain, you know, seizes up. But we are going on to perfection. And yes, in a church, the Bible says in a great house, there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. When you cast a net, you get all kinds of fish, right? But that's the reason the fisherman cleans them. The word cleans. If we will stay in the house, the Bible says you can change that vessel of dishonor into a vessel. It can get polished up. It can get a new coat of paint, because the word does the washing. Amen. And that's why I like coming to church, because I hear your report, your testimony. It refreshes me. It encourages me. It lifts me up. Amen. And as I was saying, this is the only way we stand. I'm going to be finishing. Peter here says that, testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein we stand. We don't stand because I'm a good person. I don't stand here because my father was a good person, or my mother, or whoever they were. I can only stand here because of his grace and favor. Amen. I told this before, that I have never gotten to a point in my life where I can just sit back and just fold my hands and think everything's okay. I think I've come to the conclusion God is always going to keep me right on the edge, because he knows me. See, for you, he could give you a lot of blessing and it would be good for you. For me, he keeps me right here because I got to pray. I got to keep him close, because I'm right on the edge all the time. All the time. I'm only this close to always disaster. But you know what? His grace is sufficient. In my weakness, Paul says, when I'm weak, then am I strong. See, to the world, that makes no sense. They can't understand that kind of philosophy. How can you be weak and still strong? Well, I told you, I watched that black belt little guy throwing everybody. And the reason was, it wasn't he had strength. But when they came at him, he just pushed them. He just stepped out of the way and let them keep going. Stick a leg out and they would go flying. He wasn't doing anything. They were huffing and puffing. And if we will let God use us, the devil will exhaust himself on you. He will exhaust himself on you. That's what he did with Jesus. The Bible said he had to leave him. Get thee behind me, Satan. See, all that came out of Jesus was grace. I'm trying to hurry. But grace also is a time period. It doesn't last forever. We are in the age of grace. We are in the age of grace. When Jesus said it is finished and that veil in the temple rent, grace began. That thief on the cross, just before Jesus died, he said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What a simple little prayer. That's all he had to do in faith, believing. So the grace of God is the time that God has shed forth all his mercy. And that extended time to us is the time that we have to redeem. But it's not going to last forever. The Bible does not say this goes on forever. But the Bible talks about it, that the time of the Gentiles will continue until that comes to an end. When the last person has been preached to, when the last person has been given their chance, there's going to be a time when the angel says, let him that is righteous be righteous, still let him that is unrighteous, let him that is wicked be wicked. So there's going to be a time when there won't be any more grace. When God has said, okay, everyone who's wanted to has had a chance. Grace is also a covering. Romans 4:7, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Everyone see this projector? This is what I used to turn on the projector. Can you see it now? Why not? It's covered. I'm not much of a good magician, but a good magician would still have that in there, and you'd think it was in there. See? Just pretend it's still in there, but you see, you would if I had been slick, you see, you'd have all thought that was still in there. Right? So just play along with me here. See? It's covered and you can't see it, but really, maybe it's gone, see? That's what Jesus does. Not only does he cover it, but he says it's gone. It's gone. It doesn't exist. Amen. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are... Do you feel blessed today? Do you feel blessed today? And this is another of them verses that we need to really just meditate. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Like Teflon, you know, it doesn't stick. Not because I've got the Teflon, it's his righteousness. It's covering me. And although Satan says, you're a failure, I'm going to sling some more mud at you. You're no good. You said some bad words. You had some bad... And he's slinging that mud all week. I'm going to come here. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to say, Lord, thank you because you said I'm accepted in the beloved. You still love me. And I'm blessed because nothing he has thrown at me is going to stick. I am perfect before you. See, grace is a covering. Grace is a covering. Amen. And when we're covered by his grace, we don't have to worry. Look at this. This woman was brought in the very act of adultery. It wasn't as if, you know, she didn't do it. There was no denying it. But you know what Jesus did? He started to write. And the Bible doesn't tell us what he wrote. And there's all kinds of suppositions. I have my theory. And I think he just started writing out all the stuff that them men had done. The Bible said that they took off from the oldest. Maybe he had the most stuff. So Jesus started to write out. On a certain night, Barnabas was at this other brothel with this lady named Cherry. And he saw that and he took off. Then he started to write about this other one named Simon, who was cheating on his wife right then. And he took off. And when Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her. Now, I want you to understand, this is us. This is us. Where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? There was only one person who could have condemned her, and that was Jesus. She said, no man, Lord. And then Jesus made the point, neither do I. But go and sin no more. Don't go do that again. Don't get in the mess again. What a great thing to be personally forgiven by Jesus himself. You can have no doubt. And yet that's what he has done, and some of us don't believe it. I say we're grave diggers. We go and dig back up our dead bodies, and we look at it. Now, what would you call someone who goes to a cemetery and digs up an old dead body and sits around? But they're worse than that. That's perverted. That's a perversion. Would you want to hang around someone who they go to the cemetery every night and they dig up a body and start looking at it and talking to it? That's what we do. We go dig back up the stuff that Jesus has buried and we hang around with it. That's crazy. That is crazy. She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I. Amen? Amen. Grace is where your power begins. And this is the scripture we started with. See, I'm a sinner by birth, saved by grace. Amen? Let's stand today. I'll be continuing this next week. Here's the whole verse. You know, it's funny because this was the chapter. This was the chapter that God used to on my journey to become a pastor in 2004. As I've told you my testimony, I was at a conference and I was feeling very depressed and unworthy and terrible and all kinds of other things. I was feeling a failure. And out of the blue, I opened the book, the Bible, I was at the back of the hall, and I opened this chapter, and God started to speak to me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my... This is Paul. Therefore, I'm going to glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, if you never needed anything, would you need God?
No.
If you had $10 billion, and you had your perfect health, what would you need? Nothing. You see, some of the times that we have needs, it's to make us appreciate God.
Yeah,
because if we haven't got a need, then he can't show us any love. Paul goes on to say, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. Now, not because you messed up, but if it's for Christ's sake, then you can have some joy, because you cannot put God in debt. He will repay you. Whatever you've done for Christ, he says he's going to repay you. Some 60, some 90, some 100-fold. For when I am weak, then I am strong. See, we were dead, the scripture says, in trespasses and sin. But he hath quickened us, made us alive. And you can be made alive today through faith if you believe this. We're going to close this Sunday school. I hope you have been blessed. I hope you have been encouraged. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute. It's nothing to do with how good or bad you are. The greatest, most perfect person on earth was still unworthy of Christ. But if we will humble ourselves and look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, and let his grace cover us, then you can quote that scripture in Romans, blessed is the man or woman to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And if you get that, you can't help but smile, because you have gotten something that is more precious than rubies, than riches, than diamonds. You've got God's favor. You can lose money, but if you have God's favor and blessing, and I've told that, and I'm trying to finish, but I just want to make this point. Jacob and Esau, right? Esau was the oldest. He should have inherited everything. And yet, when Jacob left, Esau was mad, even though Jacob left with nothing material. So what was Esau mad about? He didn't take a penny from his father, Isaac, but he left with something so much more valuable than money, silver, or gold. What did he leave with? The father's blessing. If you have the father's blessing, everything else will come to you. It'll be like magic. Except there isn't magic, it's the father's blessing. Jacob left with nothing. He didn't take a single thing. So why was Esau mad? Because he took the most valuable thing, the father's blessing. And I'm telling you today, I declare it today, that if your heart right now is reaching out by faith, you have the father's blessing. You may not have a penny to your name. You may have bills. You may have sicknesses. You may have all kinds of stuff going on in your life. But I'm telling you, if you will believe it today, you are accepted in the beloved. If you start to live in the grace of God, if you start to receive it, your life will change. I declare it. It will happen. I'm a living example of God's grace and mercy. I'm telling you that. I'm closing. You are accepted in the beloved. If you could bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you this morning for your prayer.